Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob, we're efforting Pat Welter from WRAL in Raleigh, contributor to this expose on the Belichick regime at North Carolina. Wow, is all I have to say. How about the James Franklin regime at Penn State in the meantime?
How about Clemson even having their problems? Although
should
they just
switch
beat
coaches?
North Carolina, maybe.
Should those two schools just switch coaches?
It typically happens in time. You know, somebody ends up because you're a fresh start, and then you find, just like what happened down at LSU after
Brian Kelly
left. You know, they have resumes. People like them. It's a fresh start. But I think in this case, man, Bill Belichick, 34-10 to Clemson. They weren't even, or maybe it was 38-10. It was a real bad game.
And it's everything else surrounding the program.
Right.
There's a new bad story every single day. Do you think Franklin, we had Corey Geiger on yesterday. Do you think Franklin and the school come to an agreement after this season, Bob, where he takes a lump payment and leaves?
It depends on what that lump payment is. I mean, if it's what he's owed, maybe. If it's not, and they want some sort of compromise on that money, then I don't think he would.
Well, one of the things I want to ask Pat here is what would it look like if, I don't know who has an out after 1 year or what the contract looks like. Let's go to Pat. Pat Welter, WRAL sports anchor, reporter, is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Pat is a Mount Lebanon grad and a contributor to an expose on Bill Belichick's North Carolina football program that has really taken off across the country here. Pat, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I was just telling your producer, I grew up in Mount Lebanon and then moved to New Hampshire in 2001.
Oh.
And then that's the beginning of the Belichick reign over the Steelers for the next 20 years. And now here I am reporting on this story. You can't make this kind of stuff up.
No, you can't. And I have to ask you before we start, Bob Pompeiani, I'm just assuming, a role model for you. Yes.
Jesus. Yeah, this is a trip for me for sure, guys. I've watched Bob and obviously grew up becoming a sports anchor. I've been a big fan of what you guys do in the Pittsburgh market. And Starkey, I believe I sat next to you in the press box.
Wow.
Circa 2014.
New revelation there.
Wait, where was this?
Steelers press box, or maybe it was Pitt, one of the two, around 2014. I was at WJAC Johnstown,
yeah.
Sports anchor there.
Ah.
So, yeah, man, it's great to be on with you guys.
Was I communicative? Was I a nice person?
Yeah, you were very nice. Very nice play to me. We chatted briefly during the game. Wouldn't expect you to remember 10 years later. But, for sure. It meant a lot. I was getting into business. So, for sure, this is cool for me. So, happy to share what I know.
Did I burst into spontaneous, nonsensical song lyrics at any point
or
during
a yelp,
the game?
An annoying yelp.
You know, that was the era where, gosh, it was Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger, and you're like, man, this team is so good. Why aren't they better? And they couldn't beat the Ravens in the playoffs inexplicably.
Right.
And obviously never beat Bill Belichick. And, it's just what's so stark to me, you know, guys, like growing up watching Bill Belichick and as a Steelers fan, like the schematic edge, the prep, the little details in games that always seem to, you know, in particular, pester the Steelers. And since, you know, the end of his days in New England, you started to see kind of the cracks in that armor. And then now here, covering him in Chapel Hill, I mean, you know, all you got to do is read the story to see the quotes. Complete disaster, disorganized, dysfunctional, no communication. I mean, you know, it was, you saw the beginnings of that maybe in New England, and now it's completely boiled over.
Well, let's get to the matter at hand here. Yourself and Jeff Hauser, I'm assuming you guys combined on this piece, Pat?
So this was a piece with most of myself and then Brian Murphy, one of my colleagues at WREL, is also contributing to reports that we're doing at WREL in Raleigh. And then you've seen a lot of the national reports come out afterwards and you know, and speaking to a lot of the Tar Heel blog here. I'm at AC Media, the ACC Media Days right now in Charlotte. You know, we're all talking behind the scenes. You know, supposed to be talking about basketball. We're all talking Belichick. You know, hey, what do you know? What did you know? You know, and it's like, as I've seen their sources come out, and I'm talking to my sources, and I'm like, hey, are you talking to other people? They're like, no. So I just found out about a couple hours ago that some of my sources are reluctant to share new information because they're trying to tidy up the leak in Carolina. And based on what I'm hearing there, this leak is far from a couple people. And, you know, you just walk around in Chapel Hill on a game day. That's what I was doing on Saturday, just talking to people, introducing myself. And the first words out of different people's mouths were like, oh, God, this is such a disaster. You know, so it hasn't been hard to get people to talk. But maybe now that it is that, you know, all the knives are out from all these reporters trying to figure out what's going on there.
I don't know what the expectations were going into this. When you bring in a Bill Belichick, I imagine they're huge and they were talking huge. And then, you know, it's a change I saw on the roster here, how many different people they brought in. And so I think people were optimistic they were going to maybe change the direction of their program. But once I saw Jordan Hudson start walking around and all the stuff that's going on with her, I'd like to get your take on that part of it. How much, because it seems to me, I've listened to interviews where she actually controls how Bill kind of talks a little bit. What is the role of this person in this whole program and how it's come to be?
Yeah, I mean, that was certainly the story initially, right? Like, even when he was being hired, there was obviously people were aware of her. And my take was like, oh, well, when she comes in, they're going to realize that this is a large distraction. Bill Belichick made his career on not having distractions. He can do whatever he wants in his personal dating life, but they're going to have the self-awareness to not make this a thing. And it was the exact opposite, where she was out front. Obviously, you know, you can wear whatever you want as well, but like sequins, like snakeskin Carolina. I mean, you cannot miss her is the point. And she's at press conferences. Obviously you've seen her on the sidelines. And you know, that kind of cooled off after the CBS interview, caused Carolina to bring in additional PR staff to help manage it. And you saw a tangible change after that, where it was clear the messaging was focused on football. And they only talked about football. Hudson basically disappeared for a while. Pablo Torre had the whole report about the banning. You know, my sources said there was no quote-unquote ban, but there certainly was a pullback, right? Lately, she's been around more as the tension on her has cooled. You know, as recently as Saturday, you know, at the Clemson game, she's in the press conference, standing right next to the top decision makers at Carolina. Sure. Chancellor Lee Roberts, you know, the athletic director, the new athletic director coming in, some top donors types like that. So she's certainly around. But my take on this is that she is actually just one small piece in a culture of dysfunction.
Well, the story paints Belichick's program as one source told you, an unstructured mess with no culture, no organization, no communication between coaches and parents at all. Belichick will see players in the hallway and just say hi and walk past. Michael Lombardi described as rude. They've had situations here where the Hulu documentary is canceled. Now they have a coach suspended for, I guess, giving away what was it? Giving away tickets or something like that? Whatever it was.
Tickets, and yep.
Yeah, I'm curious if you've heard since this story exploded from Belichick or Jordan Hudson.
No, I have not. And the timing is convenient in a way where they're on an open date, kind of a weird schedule here, where they had an open date before Clemson. They have an open date after. So he can kind of hide right now. Like, I reached out directly to his PR staff right before I published to make sure they knew, in fairness, if they wanted to respond to anything. They chose not to, but we're seeing, I think, them react to the reporting in real time. Like, I thought, like, hell, maybe he won't care at all. Like, the way he's acted after games from the press conferences, you look at the performance on the field and you see his response, and to use kind of a Gen Z word, you feel like you're being gaslit. Like, his reaction to what's happening on the field does not seem in comparison, in relation to what it should be. So I thought maybe he wouldn't care. But, you know, we're seeing that he is. Like, I think I just mentioned that some of my sources are reluctant to share new information. You know, we saw, basically, we reported that the tickets, right, that one of the things that was happening was players were selling their spare tickets as opposed to sharing them. Well, it turns out in 2025, NIL is legal. Players can make money. But some things are still NCAA violations. And selling your tickets for profit is the kind of thing that could get you ruled potentially ineligible. And UNC sent out a memo to all their student athletes. I obtained a copy of it, in essentially direct response to our report. And then you see the follow-up here with this Coach Hawkins, the athletic reporting that he was giving passes out essentially against the rules as well. And that's part of our reporting as well. It's just these extra benefits that certain players on the team were getting. And I've heard from multiple sources that, you know, player like Thaddeus Dixon, one of their highest paid defensive players from Washington, is one that was just getting essentially, you know, above and beyond everybody else on the team. Is that okay in the new NIL world? Yeah, in a vacuum. But when you're not doing anything to bridge the divide, when you're not doing anything to create unity in the locker room, and you already have Mac Brown era players versus the transfers to begin with, and you're just exacerbating that, it kind of shows on the field. And there's kind of lack of unity, lack of cohesion, and the little things like selling your tickets instead of giving it to your teammate who has family coming in. You know, there's a lack of unity. There's a lack of team going on right now in Carolina.
Pat Welter from WRAL in Raleigh wrote the story this week about Bill Belichick's program, toxic environment, according to sources within, unstructured mess, complete disaster. Michael Lombardi, the GM, you have Steve and Brian Belichick as defensive coaches. The team stinks. You have a divided locker. Other than that, things are going very well, Pat, I take it. The Hulu documentary, that's been canceled, I guess, because there's no good news there. How much truth is there to these two things? That Belichick, well, we know he admitted that he won't allow Patriots scouts to go there, which is outrageous when you have college players who want to obviously go to the pros. How about this thing with no highlights of Drake May? They couldn't, that the NC PR staff couldn't put out highlights of Drake May because he plays for the Patriots. True or untrue?
So, to my knowledge, it is true. I haven't, like, completely independently confirmed it. I mean, I've asked some people about it, and they mentioned some details, but it wasn't strong enough where I felt comfortable going out and calling in my own confirmation. But I know the reporter who did that, Ross Martin, you know, he's a guy that's connected around here. And it's just kind of, like, obvious, right? Like, some of these things, like, I joke, like, you don't need anonymous sources to tell you that something's wrong at Carolina. All you have to do is watch them on the football field. You don't need anonymous sources to tell you that their social media staff is behaving oddly when they're not promoting one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks and a beloved player in Chapel Hill in Drake May. And then shortly after that report comes out, they do tweet about him. So, you know what I mean? I would venture to say that that is likely true, especially in light of Belichick being asked on the record at a press conference after the Charlotte game if he had banned Patriot scouts, and he did not run from it at all. No reason to answer that question, and he did. He said, yes, I'm not welcome at their facility. They aren't welcome at ours. So that kind of pettiness is a word I've heard used by some parents I've talked to. You know what? That's not me accusing it of it. I mean, you are your life's actions, so I don't know how else to read it.
Pat, you said something interesting earlier when the Jordan Hudson thing became an issue. They had to bring in additional PR staff, which I find laughable that they have to do that and that they get to that degree. But also, now, what does this mean? He signed a long-term deal down there. Is this just something in the first year they're going to get by and he'll get back on track with what he said he would do to that program? Or what's the feeling about his immediate future and then longer-term future?
Yeah, a couple things here. I was thinking this morning, like, I want to look at the contract. Now, we have the contract. I just didn't have it immediately in my possession. I'm literally going to look at it when I hang up with you guys, because we just got it in our kind of news feed that we're talking about this story on. Because I wanted to see, is there a clause for cause, right? Like, can they fire him for cause? I imagine there's something like that where they wouldn't have to maybe pay the buyout. From what I understand with the contract, it's about 3 years, $10 million guaranteed. So at the end of this year, if they were to fire him at the end of this season, buyout would be around 20. And then it's, I think, you know, if they did it now, it'd be some sort of prorated type buyout, right? So that's where they're at. And before publishing the story, I made sure I ran it up the chain with UNC Athletics and among some of their decision makers, and had a long conversation with one of them, basically running almost every single thing in the piece by this person. And, you know, at the end, I just wanted to make sure I knew what was the feeling for them as decision makers. And they said that they want to be patient. They want to support Bill Belichick. They hired him knowing that he had not had college experience, and that they want to help fix this. But I think this is the key line here. Belichick has to be willing to accept that help. And, you know, you just kind of think about that word and why that was phrased, and you can imagine maybe behind the scenes he's not willing to accept help. Again, that's me speculating, reading between the lines there. But, you know, I think quotes like that kind of tell you it all.
One more question here for Pat Welter, Mount Lebanon grad, WRAL sports anchor and reporter in Raleigh, who just authored a scathing review of Bill Belichick's program at North Carolina. Limits?
Yeah, Pat, I'm really curious about a couple of different things, but especially, like, is there a thought in Carolina that Jordan Hudson is even ruining Bill Belichick's legacy as a coach? And does he seem as bought in as previously as you observed from him in New England?
Yeah. You know, this is my opinion. I mean, I would say he's ruining his own legacy, right? You know, he's choosing to live his life how he wants to live it. You know, I would say football-wise, what I do know, what I have heard, like, he still can coach one-on-one football. Like, that was one of the things. I got a tip on this whole story in the spring, but I had bounced it off a couple different people, and some of them were like, no, like, we're talking to parents, like, no, my son's getting really good coaching. My son's getting really good physical fitness and nutrition. You can literally see it in their bodies. And yeah, it was really hard in the spring. You know, 4:30 a.m. wake up calls, almost militaristic. And you're like, well, you know, think about Remember the Titans. You're like, okay, you know, they're trying to bridge the gap between two different, old school, the old background recruits and the new recruits, and you're trying to toughen them up. Okay, that seems fine. But then obviously the results in the field have been different. Bill's just, you know, here's an example, right? Because I want to say the things that are facts. Like the UCF game, they lose 34-9 to UCF. They've now been outscored 120-33 by Power Four competition. Completely uncompetitive. He goes into that press conference chewing gum, like Pete Carroll chewing gum, snorting, grunting, just complete lack of disregard for his own image. I mean, these are little things, right? And this whole thing is like little things become big. So I would say that he still has an ability to coach football, but based on all the reporting I've done, there seems to be a lack of an ability to run a program, and clearly a bit of hubris or naivete on what it would take to run a college football program. And you know, all you got to do is look at the resumes of the staff. You got to do is look at the last names of some of the members on the staff to know that maybe this isn't a staff that's capable of handling this when you have a 73-year-old head coach that maybe still can coach football. But look, guys, age is age. I mean, I'm 38. I've been covering the story for a few days. I'm exhausted. I can't imagine, like, running a college football program at 73. More power to you. But, you know, I mean, we're seeing the cracks of that, I think it's fair to say.
Pat,
I was going to say, real quick, over and under, Pat, does he get to be here throughout the course of his contract, and can they turn it around? What's your gut feeling on that?
Like, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I really haven't. I would bet that it would be a mistake to bring him back for a second year. That's my opinion. They're in a tough spot. They made a huge investment. but and they benefited from that investment. They won the offseason. That's what they wanted. They wanted to raise Carolina football's profile. You know, everybody's angling for the conference realignments. That's a piece of this in the background. But, you know, none of that matters if you're an embarrassment and you've got people that are upset. You've got kids that are trying to make the NFL. You've got their tape is being ruined because they aren't being good in positions to succeed. So I don't know how you could continue. Crazier things have happened in sports. They could rally around this. They could come together. You know, they could do it in spite of Bill Belichick. You know, that's sports. We never know what's truly going to happen. That's why we love this. But I certainly wouldn't bet on it. And the way this is going, it's hard for me to see them winning one more game, to me, honestly, is a reach from what we've seen. So you're talking about a 2-win team? I mean, I don't know how you come back from that. So we'll see. It's going to be a tough spot to be in. I'm just a reporter. People try to come back to me, oh, do you have all the answers? I don't. But I'm just trying to tell you what's going on and what I'm seeing.
Pat, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you, and good luck,
Pat.
Moving ahead.
Keep up the good
work.
Yeah,
I know. Appreciate you. Thanks so much. Happy to help you guys out any way I can, and I'll say hi next time one of my teams plays a Pittsburgh one for sure.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Pat Welter from WRAL in Raleigh.
That reminds me of that program was WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember that?
I love that show, yes. One of the greatest shows of all time, Bob. So who's gone first, Belichick or James Franklin from their current programs?
I would say Belichick.
Is there any chance, because we've seen in college and the pros, people walk into a new environment, and when they transform it, Jimmy Johnson in Dallas, for example, when he replaced Tom Landry, he got absolutely killed for the way all that went down, and he was right in the end. Is there a chance that Belichick is crazy like a fox here?
No. I think he's just a guy who does things the way he does things, and it's just not working here.
Not yet. Is there a chance it will?
It might, but I think before that happens, they're going to make a decision to move on from him. You think differently? You think he'll be there for the 3 years and beyond?
I don't know. There seems to be way more than just losing here. It seems to be a joke.
It's a cultureless environment.
To bring in your kids to run the defense, to bring in other questionable coaches, one of whom's already been suspended. The whole Jordan Hudson thing. It's just a very, very odd situation. He is sullying his legacy at the moment. I'll say that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, especially I don't think he'll ever forget about their run, which was incredible in New England. But, yeah, I mean, this is not the way you want to go out.
And all the petty crap with the Patriots, that's just – I'm actually happy about it because I hated them so much. But it is it's kind of sad, really.
It is. I mean, the fact that he would actually, if this is true, go out there and say do not – put anything out there about Drake May. And come on now. How petty can that be? If anything, you should be proud. That's one thing. You know, Pitt Panthers do it right. They salute all their past players who've gone on to great things. That's part of who you are as a program. You should always embrace that and try to put that up on the pedestal. Instead, he's trying to erase things that he has no business erasing.
All right, Bob. We're at sort of the unofficial quarter point, quarter pole, you could say, in the NFL. And man, I mean, we just see every week why people love this. Well, they love it because they can bet. We have our fantasy leagues. We have our favorite teams. And then we have the nature of the sport. It's crazy that every game just about comes down to the wire, and I don't know that I remember too many years through a quarter of the season that have had this many combined comebacks, like crazy comebacks.
All fourth quarter, too. And big deficits.
Yes, and wild happenings, like people dropping the ball at the goal line and fake and field goals blocked that are returned for touchdowns. It's been wild.
Speaking of fantasy, Joe?
Yes.
Guess who's in first place in the Odyssey Fantasy Football League?
A man they call Limits.
Starkey in Austin City. 4-1 in first place.
You guys are
in the league.
How about
Wait,
that?
I'm on your team?
You are on the team.
I didn't
Joe.
Even pick anybody.
I know. I picked the team. That was the day that I was like deathly ill and missed work. I picked the team on my couch right before I fell asleep.
Do we get money
for
that?
First place.
Do we get money if we win?
If we win, there's a gift card at the end, yes.
And I get
for
to
each
split
of us.
It? I
didn't
have enough.
Each of us.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, each of us.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a prize.
Big money?
I like that a lot.
Pretty good prize.
Okay.
Well, let's look at it, shall we? Let's take a closer look a quarter of the way through, and let's start by picking our MVP. Limits, would you like to go first on MVP?
This is league-wide?
Wrong.
Or is this?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean league? Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you meant the Steelers.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, league-wide. Who's the MVP of the NFL so far?
Man, I have to give a big tip of the cap to you, Bob, because I'm with you. Baker Mayfield right now is the NFL MVP. He has been terrific, 1,200 yards passing. He has already thrown 10 touchdowns to just one pick, a 104 rating. He has been so good in the clutch.
Clutch, that's what makes it different.
Game-winning drives, touchdowns on the last play of a game. Baker definitely deserves it. The way that he's been able to revitalize his career is very impressive.
Followed closely by Daniel Jones. I think you have to really consider him in this situation. Now, there's a long way to go, but from what he's done over there at Indianapolis, pretty good stuff.
I'm going to agree with both of you and take Baker. 10 touchdowns, one interception, a 104 rating. I mean, he's just been great.
And he's done it without Mike Evans, too.
Now, yeah, that's right. There's been a lot of guys who are off to good. Jared Goff, 12 touchdowns, two picks. Sam Darnold is having a great
really
season
year.
So far. Josh Allen is always there, and they're 4-1. Jordan Love, 8 touchdowns, one pick. Matthew Stafford, 11 touchdowns, two picks. Mm-hmm. He's definitely in the running. But if I have to choose somebody right now, yeah, it's Baker. Are we all in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was your coach of the year so far, Bob? I'm going with Shane Steichen
just because I like what Daniel Jones has done, and they have an offense that's hard to stop. They really do. He's a creative person, and I think he is a quarterback whisperer type of guy too. He gets somebody who's a raw talent or who's been there and needs some new direction. Well, Daniel Jones going there, I don't think many people thought they'd have the kind of success. Again, it's early.
I didn't, and my second choice is Kyle Shanahan. And I know, you know,
with all the injuries they've had.
Yes, he had to go with Mac Jones, and plus their roster got
Mac
gutted
Jones?
A little bit.
That he's those people nice. In San Francisco are saying to themselves, okay, when Brock Purdy gets healthy, what do we do? Or just hopefully take your time, Brock Purdy. You don't need to come back so fast because Mac Jones is playing that level.
He really is. He looks like he is Brock Purdy, basically. Who's your coach of the year?
Man, as much as I want to pick Campbell, what Shanahan's done with all those injuries, Ayuk, Kittle, whatever, all out while Mac Jones still looks like a good quarterback again. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback whisperer, and he should get his due.
First coach fired. There hasn't been a coach fired
yet,
has there?
But it's going to have to be the dude in Miami.
Mike McDaniel.
He's not even making sense anymore.
Did I send you the clip of him the other day, Limits? It doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, I don't understand what
he's saying. I don't know what he's talking about. Well, I never did, but now I really don't know what he's talking about, Bob.
Yeah, he...
It sounds like he's smoking giant bongs before he meets the media.
He looks that way, too. And, you know, he has those big glasses on that overtake his face, and then he's talking about things that don't make sense.
Mr. Magoo. It's... What is he talking? Is this him from the other day? Listen to this.
They blew a game the other day.
Listen
they had a big
this.
Lead.
This is what he claims the conversation was like with the Dolphins owner.
He was really frustrated at the, just like he was as I was. And, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
That sounds like me at Edmonds. That sounds.
You talk about losing a press conference. That would be a big L right there.
Wow. Let's hear that again. This is me at Ed Holyoke's house at 4 in the morning in 1985, Bob.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
Love the ending.
Take a little.
Yeah, he had enough time between breaths. Oh my God. And he's a likable sort, isn't he? Because he's so different that I kind of like him. I feel horrible for him. You just want to scoop him up and protect him from this from his fate here, Bob. But his fate is coming soon. This is a disaster. Oh my God!
Especially because they were up 17-0, I think, last week.
Yeah,
and they frittered that away again
against Carolina.
Yeah, of all teams.
Against Carolina. How does he still have a job?
I don't know. It's taken a long time. I thought they'd make that decision by now.
I'd normally never call for a third playing of a clip, but I need to hear that again. I mean, this is vintage Mike McDaniel here, Limits.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was. And, you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. that was kind of the extent of it.
The only thing missing in there was an at.
That was kind of the extent of it. The extent of what? I don't know what you just said. He's a lost soul right now in the NFL.
I think he knows it too, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's having trouble articulating these things, because he knows he's on thin ice.
All right, the biggest surprise to you, meaning good surprise, in all of football is what, Bob?
You're talking about player or team?
You could even talk about a story. I don't care. Maybe you're surprised that Micah Parsons got traded. Maybe you're talking about one game.
I mean, that's...
Maybe the emergence of a player or maybe a team.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, the one I'm going to take, the man who Coach Gannon went after with a shoulder tap pat, and he lost the ball at the goal line.
Twice that's happened this year.
Yeah, I mean, DeMarcado, is that his name? He's a third-string running back. Yeah. He got in there because James Conner's hurt. He got a 72-yard run, which would have put that game on ice. And yet, I'm still shocked. And here we are again talking about the same thing over again. How many times do you have to do this?
Yeah, yep.
Talking about the same things.
I'm going to admit something.
I mean, he had to know. There are so many things that have happened video-wise. You have to just go on and see, never do that. And he did it. And it cost him the game. They would have been up 20,
I know, a guy already did it this year. Right. He crossed the goal line, then dropped the ball. Excuse me. I'm going to admit something here. I thought that everybody saying the Patriots were going to be good this year and we're going to, you know, make the playoffs, etc., I thought they were all full of crap, and I didn't think the Patriots were going to be good at all, and they're way better than I thought, and the biggest surprise to me in the league. And I even thought Drake May was going to be good. The first time I saw Drake May in college, I said, that dude, even though he's a little smaller, not much, is the closest thing to Ben I've seen in college since Ben, and he is going to be a star. And I think he is. So them and him combined and how good they are, they should have beaten the Steelers. I think we can all admit that territorially. Drake May just picked them apart that day. They kept dropping the ball on the ground. And Steelers, to their credit, forced those fumbles or the Patriots gave them whatever. They're going to win that division. And it's just the way that they look is the biggest surprise to me in the NFL. Yeah,
they're certainly up there as one of the top surprise stories. And if you look at their schedule coming up, they're going to be in great shape. throughout the course of the AFC East.
How about you? Twinning is everything.
There's a couple of things. One, the fact that we're still doing ties in the NFL, I think is stupid in that game that the Packers and Cowboys tied. But honestly, George Pickens being a top five receiver in the NFL right now?
Bob picked it. Didn't you, Bob?
I said
go ahead and gloat.
No, I'm not gloating. You're asking me, but you deserve to gloat. I said I would have preferred him staying instead of a third-round pick to complement Metcalf, to have two guys to really put some pressure on an opposing defensive coordinator, and that's why. I thought anytime you dangle money in front of an athlete, I've always had this. If I were a GM, I'd want guys playing for their futures, playing for the money. You're in the final year, you have a choice. Here's your choice. Stop acting like an idiot and an immature fool. Put that in the back seat for now and go out and play. And I think he's done that.
I don't think that story's completely written yet. They did a topic yesterday. Do you on the PM show, do you have buyer's or trader's remorse on George Pickens? I don't, because I think if he had stayed here, it's an entirely different
situation. Even with
the
money at the end of the rainbow.
Bob,
here,
they gave somebody else his money and his job. It would have been, he would have poisoned the place starting in minicamp.
Why is he not doing it in Dallas?
Because it's a different situation.
And by the
way,
still money. It's the
by
same
the way,
situation.
There's a guy who will be taking his targets coming back to their lineup real soon.
And he was still good
Stay
when
tuned.
CD Lamb was in there. He had two of his five touchdowns when he was in there.
There was a game that wasn't so good in there. They haven't played enough. George Pickens will be George
Pickens
before all is said and done.
He's on pace for, what, 15?
I don't think it would have happened here.
Maybe
and nobody
not.
Denies
Maybe
his
not.
Talent, by the way.
And
nobody
not,
denies
listen,
that.
They made their choices. It's fine. They have their reasons for it. I'm just saying I'm looking at it strictly from a financial carrot at the end of the year. You have a choice to make, and he may only get one opportunity at this.
We'll see.
And if you mess it up, it's on you, and he knows that.
We'll see how it turns out. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Sunny today, a high of Dan Moore, a low of Bud Dupree. That's 65 and 48. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Biggest disappointment in the NFL. Could be a person, could be a game, could be a team, could be a story, Bob. What is it?
I would say the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not? They were looked at as a Super Bowl pick from the very beginning, and they got, and every team has injuries. This is, let's not make it sound like the Ravens don't, you know, are unusual. They have injury. They have a lot of them, I guarantee, you know, star players, I get it, but you're supposed to be in a position to absorb some of that, and so far they have not. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the year they'd be 1-4 heading into a game where they're a 7.5 point
Incredible.
Underdog at home, I would never have envisioned that. So
incredible,
there.
And I'm completely with you there. Although for me personally, I had the Arizona Cardinals and was quite confident in my pick that they were going to win the NFC West. They start out 2-0. Listen to the games they've lost. At San Fran, 16-15. Against Seattle on a last-second field goal, 23-20. And then an absolute choke job, a game that you could play 1,000 times and you would win 999 of them. They lose somehow to Tennessee 22-21.
Which was a bigger comeback?
They should be 5-0.
Which was a bigger comeback? That by Tennessee, forget the circumstances, or the Bills over the Ravens?
Not even close. As amazing as the Bills' comeback was, this game was done.
It was totally done. It was 28-6. The guy was on his way.
They needed a guy to drop a ball at the goal line when he was untouched. They needed an onside kick, which never happens anymore.
Before that, they had an interception by Arizona, and a guy, not touched, rolls to the ground, loses the ball,
right?
And it turns into a touchdown for Tennessee.
Not even close that was more improbable than the Bills over the Ravens. I mean, it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life. They should have, even with like 6 minutes left, they should have won by four touchdowns, and they lost
over by
a point.
It was totally over. You're right. They should be 5-0.
It's incredible, Bob. And lastly, the thing you're most looking forward to, non-Steeler related, the rest of the year in the NFL, for me, that's easy. A man by the name of Jackson Dart. I thought he was on his way, and then the second half happened against the Saints, but that's what I'm tracking the most. I want to be right about something, Bob, and
quite frankly,
I'm having a hard time finding those things right now. You?
To me, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and how he goes
through
the rest.
I said non-Steeler.
Oh, non-Steelers. Yeah. Okay, well, let me think about that. Non-Steelers, and I would say...
You want to see Baker Mayfield, don't you? Win the MVP?
I do want that, but I've already said that. So what I'll say now is that Jonathan Taylor, I want to see how far he can take. He's off to a great start with that team, and they're running left a lot, and they follow some very good offensive linemen to the left. And he's been dynamic that way. So
I also want to see the Detroit Lions make the Super Bowl. If the Bills can't make it, give me another long, sorry fan base, a long, broken fan base. A long suffering is the word I'm looking for, Bob. Fan base in the Rust Belt who deserves to win a Super Bowl. And
yeah,
my second choice would be Detroit. Give me Detroit. Give me those helmets and those uniforms and the kneecap biter himself in the Super Bowl.
But the kneecap biter better learn from his previous mistakes when he gets into big-time games and there's a fourth and long and you're going for it when you don't have to.
I know.
You make those kind of decisions and you'll look back one day. I mean, there are certain ones that you should do metrically. There are others you don't. And he did it twice against what is common logic, I think.
Limits, the story you're most looking forward to tracking in the NFL the rest of the season. Other, and I know you want Shedeur Sanders. You want to see that happen, don't you? What else?
I want to see that
happen
this
week. How about if it does?
Yeah, this week. I'm really curious what's going to play out in the AFC West. Whether it's Justin Herbert and the Chargers who are kind of falling apart. Like the Raiders, they brought in Pete Carroll and they got embarrassed this past week.
And Geno Smith has been terrible.
Yeah, he's been awful.
Is Kenny Pickett? Where is Kenny Pickett right now?
The Raiders.
He might be there.
Is he going to play?
Maybe.
I hope so. That'd be fun. The Chiefs, I mean, they're 2-3 and they play the Lions this week. They could easily be 2-4. That division is going to be fascinating because, Joe, you made some good points about Bo Nix earlier this year that I think are really starting to come to fruition. That team looks good, and they lead the league in sacks.
Thank you, Limits, for putting me on a pedestal. You rarely do that.
But he's right, you like that overall team, and that team is a tough team.
They should be at least
4-1. And I think Sean Payton is really showing you why he's still regarded as a really good offensive mind.
They're going to beat the Giants and the Jets and the Cowboys at home to go to 6-2, and then we're going to have a real story with the Broncos and Bo Nix. I picked him as the MVP, Bob.
Okay. How about Dak Prescott? Does he get any love from anyone?
Of course. He's playing really, really well.
He's
yes.
another guy that he always puts up numbers, but these numbers seem to be better this year.
Bo Nix has 8 touchdowns, 1,100 yards passing, and he's run for 400 yards and a touchdown. And if they were, which they should be, they got ripped off by the officials on that ridiculous leverage call on a field goal. Remember that call?
Yeah, that was a bad call.
That's one that
doesn't need to be made.
No, the guy didn't even do it.
If it's egregious, sure, but it wasn't.
Son of a Boris Yeltsin, Bob.
What is the longest field goal to be made this year in the NFL? We've already seen a few.
Did somebody make a 67 or 60? Wow.
No. Somebody made a 63.
No, that was the guy from Dallas, Brandon
Aubrey.
Whatever, Aubrey.
Yeah.
But my question is, by the end of the year, who will have the longest field goal?
Someone's going to get 70 yards, I think.
Well, we saw Cam Little down in Jacksonville in our preseason game do it, and I thought they were just going through the motions and trying to – but, I mean, he made it.
He sure did.
Boswell's
60-yarder would have been good
from
70.
So who do you think will have it?
Boswell. It's going to hit a 70-yarder to beat the Dolphins. And then Mike McDaniel's going to smoke giant bongs.
Come on.
One more time as we go out. This is Mike McDaniel. And coming up, is Brian Batko. But first, Mike McDaniel characterizing his conversation. This is real. This is not AI generated. Characterizing his conversation with the Dolphins owner, presumably about McDaniel's future.
He was really frustrated at the, he was as I was, and we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
God, I love that ending, Bob.
Oh, my God.
He has a future in something. I just don't know what it is. Maybe he can join DeCastro and sell pot and be a pot tester.
No, he's actually one of his biggest clients, already.
He's going
for the high-end stuff, the Acapulco Gold.
Oh, my God, is that great. What am I doing, Limits? Oh, we have Batko next. In the meantime, my feet hurt, Bob. Some people might suggest smoking for that. I got a better one. What?
No, I was going to say that. I've heard that helps.
Maybe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.